The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh. In the Sefer Ein Yaakov, in the Hagdoma is HaKesev, the Hagdoma of the one who wrote the Ein Yaakov, he writes as follows. He says there's a Maimer, Motzosi Kosev B'Shem An Medrash, which he says it was written in the name of the Medrash, will be Kashtihu, V'le Motzosi B'chol Shisa Sidre, B'zeo Nuskhe. He says he's been looking for this Medrash, he cannot find it, but this is what it says. The Gemara, the Chazal, the sages, are discussing what would be if we take an individual posuk, a single posuk in the Torah, what would be the individual posuk in the Torah which is kolel, encompasses the entire Torah. Ben Zema Omer, Motzino posuk el Yeser. So Ben Zema said, the posuk, the individual sentence in the Torah that would encompass the entire Torah would be Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. Benana says, Motzino posuk el Yeser. We find a posuk which is encompasses even more. Behu, Be'ohavtel Re'acha Kemecha. The posuk, you shall love your fellow man like yourself. Shimon ben Pazi says, Motzino posuk el Yeser. We see a posuk which encompasses even more. Behu esakeves echot tase babeker, esakeves hasheni tase bein aboyim. He refers to the sentence which speaks of the sacrifices, the daily sacrifice which came every day, that the keves, it was a sheep, one sheep in the morning and one sheep towards evening. Omar Repleini stood up al draglov. He stood up, the Omar, and he said, Halocha ken ben Pazai, that ben Pazai is right in his posuk. The one who said, the posuk which commands us in the sacrifice, the daily sacrifice is akeves echot tase babekeves akeves hasheni tase bein aboyim. Because afterwards it's written, actually before in the Torah, in Parshas Truma, kechol asher animara estavnis hamishkon v'chein tasu, that you shall do everything in accordance to the way I commanded you on the structure of the sanctuary. It's called Kalov, and all of the vessels, V'chein tasu, so shall you make them in further generations. Now this medrash is a little difficult to understand. We can understand the sages searching for the key posuk, the key sentence in the Torah, the key mitzvah in the Torah, that would perhaps serve as a foundation for all of the mitzvahs in the Torah. That we can understand. And we can understand why Ben Zema said, it's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echot. Shema Yisrael speaks of the Achdus Hashem, the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He encompasses everything. Good. Or Benanis, the second opinion. V'yavta Re'acha Kamocha. You shall love your fellow man like yourself. This encompasses all of the mitzvahs bein adam lechaveiro, between man and his fellow man. But Ben Pazai, the third opinion, that he said that the most important mitzvah in the Torah that encompasses all of the mitzvahs is the sakeves echot taseh v'beker, v'sakeves hashini taseh bein aboyim, that you shall sacrifice one sheep in the morning and one sheep in towards evening. Why is this, naturally it's an important mitzvah, but why is this such a mitzvah which
we can say, serves as the foundation of all the mitzvahs and encompasses all. And especially when the Medrash concludes, Halacha keben Parzai, that he, his opinion is the best. Let's first take a look at this mitzvah. This mitzvah is in our parsha. It states at the end of our parsha, in Shema Yischof Tes, Pasuk Lamed Ches, V'zeh Asher Tase Al HaMizbeach, this is what you shall do on the altar, Kvosim B'nei Shono Shnaim Layem Tomid, you shall bring two sheep who are in their first year every day, Tomid, all of the time, one sheep you shall sacrifice in the morning, the other towards evening. And then the Torah tells us what you should bring with it. And then Oles Tomid Ledere Secher. It shall be an Olas Tomid, an offering, Tomid, which comes all of the time. Pesach El Meir Lifnei Hashem. The Rambam brings on this mitzvah in the beginning of Hilchos Tamidim U'Musafim, mitzvah asei lahakriv shnei kvosim. It's a positive commandment to bring two sheep. This was during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishkan, the sanctuary. Olos, burnt offerings, b'chol yom, every day, v'heim ani kroim tamidim, and they were called tamidim. Tamidim means always, because the Torah says tamid, Targum says tidiro, you shall bring them always. They came every day, echad bebeichem, echad ben aboyim, every morning, and then in the late afternoon towards evening. When were they supposed to be brought? You can bring the first one as soon as the sun rises. And the Tomichel Ben Aboim, the afternoon one, that any time after the sun starts to set. In other words, any time afternoon till darkness. And then the Rambam tells us when exactly they brought them, because there was a halacha that lefisha osur lahakriv korban klal kodem tomichol shachar veleishechtin korban achar tomichol ben abayim, because the general principle was you weren't allowed to bring any sacrifice, any other sacrifice before this particular one, before the morning sacrifice, and you weren't allowed to bring any sacrifice after the evening sacrifice. Incidentally, now that we do not have the Beis HaMikdash, so our tefillahs, our prayers, are in place of the Beis HaMikdash. And we have the Tfilah Shel Shachar and the Tfilah Shel Mincha. We have what is known as Shachris and what is known as Mincha. And those two Tfilahs are in place of these two Korbanos, these two sacrifices. And that's why every morning it's a Shmein Esrei, the Tfilah. Every morning we have the morning Shmein Esrei, and in the afternoon Shmein Esrei. And the time for the morning one is any time after the sun rises, and the time for the afternoon one is any time after the sun starts to set until darkness. It still doesn't answer for us why this should be considered such a key mitzvah where it can encompass all of the mitzvahs. The Maralmi Prague brings this, and he goes into this question. And he explains as follows. It's the Maral in Perek Aleph of Nesiv Avasreya. He says the Teminim, these sacrifices in particular, had three milas, three prominent points. First of all, they were called avoda, like all korbanos, like all sacrifices. Avoda means the service, avodas eved, the service of a servant to his master. When we brought sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, in the sanctuary, this was to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, he was the Bere Olam. He created the world. The world was his. And we are his Nivroim. And we are his creations. And therefore, we serve him and we praise him. And we brought things to him. The burnt offerings was Eile Reach Nicheach Lashem. They went up to Hashem, the Torah says. We brought things to him. And through this, we even, Miskareves Atzmenu, we even brought ourselves close to him. So firstly, it's Avoda. Avoda's Eved. The serving of a servant to a mighty king. And particular here, it's a Melech HaGodol, Melech Malchei Amlochim, the king of all kings. A second prominent point is the Temidin. These sacrifices in particular were the main structure, the major structure and parameters of all of the korbanos, of all of the sacrifices, of all of the avodah, because we see that they were the first ones to come in the morning and the last ones to be brought towards evening. So we see, and no korban, no sacrifice was allowed to be brought before the morning one, and no sacrifice was allowed to be brought after the evening, the late afternoon one. So we see that these particular sacrifices were the tzura and the gvulim, the structure for all of the sacrifices, for all of the avoda. And then there's another in what we just said, in the second point that we are referring to, there's another declaration, another point here. The fact that it was brought in the morning with the beginning of the shining of the sun, and again it was brought as the sun began to set, because when the sun rises, that's the creation of the day, and when the sun sets, that's the end of the day and the creation of the night. And we, as the Am Yisrael, we are the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We praise him at the beginning of the creation of the day, and we praise him at the end of the day, the beginning of the creation of the Lailo, of the night. And there's a further, a deeper declaration here also. Because at the beginning of the day, when the sun is rising, Kitzeis HaShemesh B'Gvurosei, that is when the sun shows its strength. The Umas HaElam, the nations of the world, would also praise. But they wouldn't praise the Almighty. They would praise the sun. They worship the sun. We're not referring here only to ancient idolaters. Ancient idolaters, for sure. Sun worshipping was the greatest form of ancient idolatry. But we're referring to the nations of today also, many of them. Because why was sun worshipping the greatest form of ancient idolatry? the idolaters were wrong, but they were also intelligent people. It's not only in the enlightened 20th century that intelligence came to the world. They served the sun for a purpose, because the sun represented physical force, physical strength, material strength. Everything that's physical in this world and everything that is material in this world has its source in the sun. The Torah itself tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created two great lights, Hamor HaGodol v'Hamor HaKatan, the large one and the small one, and they rule the physical world. The sun is known as a king, the king of this world, and the sun rules. It is the sun that is the source of all energy to the world, physical energy. All physical heat. There is nothing that lives that can grow without sunlight in the world. And it is the sun that holds the world in order. The sun rules the entire all of the movements of the entire solar system. So when the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the two great lights to be meishal, to rule, and the sun is the Mor HaGodol, he rules. And the ancient idolaters were not so stupid. They realized this. They realized that the strongest physical force that we have in this world, not only the strongest physical force, the source of all physical life and matter in this world, the physical source of it, is the sun. And therefore they worship the sun. This is why also the Chazal tell us that they used to worship always towards the east, because the east showed the strength of the sun. That's when the sun rose, rather than worship in the west, because the west showed the sun's powers diminishing. Now, we mentioned that we're not only referring to ancient idolaters. Modern man also serves the sun. Anyone who does not believe in a creator, be it those who believe in the supremacy of science, of technology, of Darwin's theory, or whatever it might be, they also have to answer, where did the world come from? And they answer that the world came from energy. And that energy is the sun. They are also worshiping the sun, because they have no further ultimate source at which to link creation to other than the sun. And they worship the gigantic physical forces of the world. And the sun, without a doubt, is the source and the greatest of all the physical forces. So therefore, at a time when the sun was rising, and the nations of the world who did not believe in the Almighty were bowing to the sun, we came to the Beis HaMikdash, to the sanctuary, and we bowed and brought offerings to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to illustrate what? That yes, the sun is the most powerful physical force in the world, but the Almighty is the one who created the sun. And others will worship the sun, we will worship its creator. And that's why the sun has a name, Shemesh. Shemesh comes from the word Shamesh, l'shamesh, servant. He himself, he might be a mighty king in this world, but he himself is a servant to someone who's mightier than him. It's interesting to note that Esav, who was the greatest empire in the world, in the physical world, that was to rise up amongst the nations, his name was Edom. And he was called Edom Red. The Medrash tells us is because the sun is called Edom. The sun is red. And they were the giants of the physical world, and they identified themselves, therefore, with the sun. Even more so, though, is we would bring a second sacrifice. And that was towards evening, when the sun started to fall. That was a time when nations would not bow to the sun. They would bow to the sun in the east, and the sun would fall in the west. Because that was a fallacy. That was the diminishing of the sun's strength. And the sages tell us that when the sun sets in the west, the sun is bowing. And he's bowing ki abdo kamimare, like a servant bows to a master. Because there it's clearly defined who is the shamish and who is the master. That even the sun that was given license to rule at the end, at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day he bows to his master. And that's when we bring the other korban, the other sacrifice, to show this. That's why also the sages say that during the time of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when they marched, this was on Sukkot, and they marched out of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, everything headed towards the west. Kodesh, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, everything headed towards the west. And they would say that our ancestors before Abraham, who were idolaters, they worshipped to the east. But we worship to the west. Because if you worship to the east, you're worshipping to the strength of the sun. If you worship to the west, then you're worshipping to the sun's bowing to someone who is stronger than him. So the second paramount point in these two sacrifices is this represented not only avoda, not only our serving to the master of the universe and our recognizing him and praising him, but this was the basic structure of all of the sacrifices and showed that even the greatest physical forces in the world, and there are very, very great physical forces in the world that we do not even have an imagination in. But these greatest forces of nature, the sun's forces, we serve the one who has created. We recognize his force and his power, but we serve his master. But then there was a third paramount point in this korban and this sacrifice. And this perhaps in some way might be more important than the rest. And that is what the Torah tells us. Tomid. Targum says Tidiro. You shall bring it all of the time. What does it mean all of the time? This sacrifice had no exceptions. It was brought every weekday, morning and afternoon. It was brought on Shabbos, even though on Shabbos there were additional sacrifices, but these were brought first. It was brought on Yom Tov. When we daven on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we still daven in its place of the sacrifice, Shachris and Mincha. We add more tefillos. We daven Mushaf. But it does not affect the Shachris and Mincha. Reish Chodesh, we brought more sacrifices, korbonos. But these were not affected. These came. during the Shleish Ragolim, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, there were other korbanos, but these also came. During Rosh Hashanah, there were other korbanos, but these also came. On Yom Kippur, there were other sacrifices, but these also came. There was no exception to the Keves Echor Baboker, Keves Hasheni Ben Aboyim. And this is why the Torah refers to it as Olas Tomid. Shnaim Layem Tomid, it must come always. Now, the fact that it came always, this teaches us something. When we serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we become his servant, we have to serve him always. We cannot serve him in a casual manner, in an inconsistent manner. Bimikra, leprokim. But the true service to a master is always. Because this, when a person serves a master, this is the attachment. This is the dveikus. If he serves him all of the time without exception, then this shows what kind of attachment there is. There is a total attachment, a total dveikus. If he serves him sometimes, once in a while, then there's no attachment. And the whole essence of an Eved L'Rabbi, of a servant serving his master, is the dveikus, the attachment between the two. And this is what this sacrifice, this korban, is telling us. When we come to serve the master of the universe, if we want to be his servant, it has to be all of the time and without exception. Then there is a strong bond between the two. If it's the prokim, once in a while, if it's casual, then there's not a bond. It's not that this one is a full servant and this one is a part-time servant. A part-time servant is not a servant. The Gemara tells us that a servant is mashikon eved kon rabbi, that he belongs to the master in its entirety. And if we are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he created the entire world and he created the sun and he created us also and we belong to him, then the type of serving that we have to do to him is all of the time and without exception. And this is what this sacrifice showed. Accordingly, now we can see why Shimon ben Pazi said, where is the mitzvah that encompasses all mitzvahs? Esakeves echod babeke vesakeves hasheni bein aboy. This mitzvah. Because what is the purpose of man in this world? To serve his creator and to praise him. And the greatest illustration of this were these sacrifices. And these sacrifices in particular were the key sacrifices that created the structure of all the sacrifices. And these sacrifices, we were commanded every morning and every afternoon, without any exception whatsoever, as an illustration to show that the bond between Yisrael and their master of the universe is a total bond, in totality, all of the time. All of the other mitzvahs are proti. All of the other mitzvahs are also ways to serve Hashem, but they all fit into this structure. This is the mitzvah which is called lehalkol. That's why one said, Shema Yisrael. This represents the Achdus of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem. Another said that the mitzvah that encompasses all mitzvahs is the after Re'acha Kameicha. You should love your fellow man like yourself. It encompasses all mitzvahs between man and his fellow man. Shimon ben Pazi said, no, the mitzvah that encompasses all mitzvahs, because all mitzvahs are given merely for the purpose to show us how we can become true servants to Hashem, is the sacrifices. And these sacrifices, that came every morning and every evening, just as the sun rises every morning without exception, and the sun sets every evening without exception, this is how we served Hashem, and this created a total bond between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all of the other mitzvahs are all inclusive in this. There were other ways how to serve Hashem, but this is what encompassed it all. And on that, the Medrash said that they favored his opinion amongst all three. Now this that we see from here, and according to the explanation of the Maral, the importance of when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it must be bitmidus, all of the time, with a permanence. This we find many places. For example, the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara brings It's in two places. Firstly, it's in Vav Amud Beis, and then it's in Zayin Seif Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Amar b'chalbei, Amar afuna, kol akeveya mokem litfilosei, elakei Avraham be'ezrei." Whoever we all daven, we go to shul and we daven. If you ever noticed that we have a custom, that when we come to a shul to daven, you're supposed to find yourself a place and always go to that place. Mokem kavua. Not that one day you sit in one place and another day you sit in another. So the Gemara says, now this is a custom and it's a halacha. So the Gemara says, why? Kol akeveya mokem litfilosei. Whoever davens, and he davens always from one place, elekei Avraham be'ezrei. According to Avraham, will help him, will assist him. Ukeshemesh, and when this person dies, Emrim Lei, they say on him, Hey Onef Echosit. This person is a very great person, he's a very humble person, he's a very pious person, Mitalmidov Shal Avraham Avinu, and he's from the disciples of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham was Kova Mokum. Avraham daven from one place, as it states, Vayashkim Avraham Babeke Alamokum Asher Omat Shom. We see that when Avraham used to speak to Hashem, he used to go to one place. Actually, we find this by the sanctuary. It was called Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed means this was a permanent place of meeting between Moshe and Hashem. They always met in this place. That's one Gemara. Then the Gemara tells us on Zayin Seif Amud Beis. Omer Rabbi Yechon Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Kol akeveya mokem litfilosai. Whoever makes himself a permanent place for tefillah, for davening, oivov neflim tachtov. His enemies will fall beneath him. As it states, Samti mokem lami liyisrael unatati v'shochein tachto v'la yirgas od. Now, what is the meaning of this? So here the Maral explains this in his Nesiv HaAveda, Perek Dalet. This, as we see, is going to be in importance in all mitzvahs and in all serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it has a particular importance in the tefillah, because as we mentioned, the tefillah was b'mokam ha-korbonis, that took place at the, in the place of the sacrifices. And we said, when a person comes to daven to Hashem, firstly, he's coming as a servant. Servant comes to his great king to ask. That's what a person does. He comes to the king of all kings to ask. He's coming as a servant. And a servant, the measure of a servant to a king is measured on the bond between them. How much of a servant is he? Also, when he comes to Hashem to ask and to pray, he wants to create an attachment to Hashem, a closeness to Hashem. So this is Dveikus. B'mikro, casually, there cannot be this bond. There cannot be this attachment. A person that casually, leprokim, when he feels like it, once in a while, comes and speaks to Hashem, that's not a bond. A bond is something which is done always and with permanence. And the same thing, if a person one day sits in one seat and another day sits in another seat, that means ein le mokam, he has no place. The proof he has no place is because every day he changes his place. But if all the time he sits in one place, this shows that this is his place. And he's speaking to Hashem from his place. And this shows permanence. This shows permanence. And this is what the Gemara always refers to as kfius. And permanence and kfius illustrates strength. For example, if you take a tree and you plant it in one place and you move it to another place and you move it to another place, obviously, it's not going to be very strong. But if you take a tree that's planted in one place and you leave it there and it grows, and you leave it there longer and it grows, and it's there many, many years, it becomes a strong tree in that place, that's its place, and it cannot be moved, and all of the winds will not blow it over. This is an illustration of strength. Avraham represented strength. States that whoever is kevei mokum, he has a mokum kfius. In other words, he always goes to one place to daven. If a person davens one time in this shul, and another time in another shul, and a third time in another shul, what does it show? He has no shul. If he davens all the time in one place, that's his shul, that's his mokum, this is his place. Avraham was the illustration of strength, because Avraham stood up against the whole world. He didn't have anyone behind him. Terach and his ancestors were Evdei Avodah Zarah idolaters. It states that Avraham, why was he called Ivri? Because all of the world was on one side of the river and he was on the other side. He stood up against the whole world in his devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the whole world could not move him. Now, Abraham also was called Yemini, the right hand. What we do, what we do on a permanent basis, we do with our right hand. What we do on a casual basis, we do with our left hand. This is why Avraham was called Yemini. So therefore the Gemara tells us, if a person's davening is in that fashion, then he'll have the schus of Avraham to stand by him. And Avav Nefli, he will have strength, and his enemies will fall before him. The Gemara tells us, when it comes to learning Torah, Masechta Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tes Vov, Shammai Emer, Asei Teroscha Kva. Shammai says that you shall make your Torah into a kfius. when one comes to learn Torah, also it has to be that way. Not that one day he learns a little, next day a little more, the next day a little less. The Gemara always speaks of Ase Teros Kfar, that the learning of Torah has to be done with a permanent attitude. You have to set aside time for studying Torah, and that time you're not allowed to touch. That's for studying Torah. Anything else you do, you work around that. It states that Tchilas Dinishul Odom, Bora brings him a Sechti Shabbos, that when a person comes into the next world, the first thing he's going to be judged on is Kovato Itim the Torah. Did you set aside time for Torah? Now, firstly, this is very practical, Rashi says in Masechet Shabbos, because if you don't set a permanent time for Torah, then it's going to become lost and eaten up with all of the other demands that's on an individual. But again, now, there's a deeper reason for it. Because things of importance we set aside time for, has a permanent time. Things that are not important, this we do whenever we have time. Things of priority, we set aside time. Not only to make sure they get done, but that gives it more strength. And therefore, when a person, all the time, he always davens at this time, he always davens in this place, he always learns at this time, then it is known as a kfius. It becomes permanent. And there's another insight in this. It's interesting to note that whatever we do in a permanent fashion becomes eventually part of our nature, becomes part of us. Whatever we do in a casual manner does not become part of us. One becomes internal and the other becomes external. So things that are not important, we want them to remain casual. We do not want them to become part of us. The things that are important, we want them to become part of us. And, therefore, we have to be kevei amokum. You have to set aside a place. You have to be ase teros kokfar, that the Torah has to be of a permanent fashion, not a casual. And Kovato itim l'Torah. Did you, not enough that you learned, but did you set aside a period of time every day that will be only for learning? And then that becomes part of the person. The Gemara says, Masechet Sanhedrin, Neyef Isho Chosalev, Zehalei Meteda Leprokim. We have the same thing in marriage. Marriage has to be permanent. There has to be total commitment between the two partners. If there's not total commitment between the two partners, then you get a churban. You get disaster. Because in marriage, the two have to become one, and they want to become part of each other, and together they build a home and a family. And this is something which is extremely, extremely important, and it's not something that can be looked at in a casual manner, and it has to be always, without exception, like the Tomid. There was no exception to it. And always from the beginning of life to the end of life. But it's interesting, the Gemara says, uses this example as a parable for Torah. It states, Me'af Isho Chosalev, this is a Pasuk in Mishlei. Shlema Melech, King Solomon said that people who are unfaithful, a man is unfaithful to his spouse. Why is this? Because Chosalev, there's no attachment of the heart. There's no permanence of the heart. And therefore he is unfaithful and he goes off in other directions. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said, King Solomon. This is true by marriage, but the Gemara says he was also referring to the study of Torah. Aleim Teira Leprokim, someone who learns Torah, then he leaves Torah and he learns something else. Then he comes back to Torah and he leaves Torah and he learns something else. It says that's a Noef Isha Chosaleif. That's a person who is unfaithful to his spouse because there is not the attachment of the permanence of the heart. What we do in a casual manner is with the left hand. It's without heart. What we do in a permanent manner, that's in totality becomes part of the person, that's with heart. And therefore, Aleim Teira Leprokim, someone who learns Torah now, and later he goes and forgets about it, that's without heart. And that's the same of the one who is unfaithful to his spouse. We find the same in Nevuah, in prophecy. It states by Moshe, it always says, Vayikra. Vayikra Hashem and Moshe. Hashem called to Moshe. And he gave him instruction, he gave him prophecy. And this is how it states generally by the prophets of Israel. By Nevi'e Akum, by the prophets of the Umas Ha'elam, of the nations of the world, when Hashem came to them, it does not say Vayikro, it says Vayokor. For example, by Bilam. Vayikro means he called to him in a permanent fashion. Moshe used to come all of the time to the Ohel Moed, to a specific place for instruction. By Bilam, by Yoko, that's mikro, that's casually. It states when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the prophets of Israel, he comes with heart, he comes with the right hand. It's established, it's permanence. When he comes to the prophets of the nations of the world, though, now, that's something he does because he has to do it, not because he wants to do it. His heart is not in it. That's with the left hand, and that's why it's called Mayokor, Mikrokora. Casually, he came to him. It's like you have a permanent meeting. Businesses always have what's important. They have meetings once a week, every day, whatever it might be. And then they have casual meetings of those things that they have to take care of. We find this also by Klal Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked Klal Yisrael, and he said, he rebuked them by the Techoches, and he punished them. He said, why? Because Vahalachtem Imi Bekeri, because you are not walking with me like my servants. Rather, you are walking with me, Bekeri, Bemikro, in a casual manner, when it serves you well. That's when you're walking with me. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept rebuking Klal Yisrael. A servant to Hashem doesn't serve Hashem when the sun is shining, or when it's raining, or when it serves him well, or when he feels like it, or he doesn't feel like it. A servant to Hashem serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tomid, like the Tamidim. The Tamidim came every weekday, every morning, every evening, Shabbos, Sunday, Rosh Chodesh, Yantif, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tomid. When we are called to serve Hashem, to do mitzvahs, not to do them when it's good for us, not to do them when we want to, when we feel like it, but all of the time, without exception. And there came a time when Klal Yisrael were not serving Hashem that way. What did that show? The attachment was broken. The heart was left there. It was a left-handed exercise. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked the people and punished the people by saying, Ki alachtem imi bekeri, that you're only walking with me in a very casual manner. Fact is, the Gemara says that something that's bikfius, that's kedusha. Something that's done all of the time, that brings to sanctity. Something that's done casually, that can bring to tumah, to impurities. If we go into this a little deeper, actually what we are speaking about is what today we would call commitment, or responsibility, or reliability, or consistency, loyalty. When we go into this a little further, we find the Maral always says, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Hashem, there is only permanence, because he's not subject to change. So there's only permanence. He is above all change. He's above all time. And this is why it states, Ani Hashem Leishonisi. I don't change, Hashem says. Or, all the time in the Torah it says, Ani Hashem Nemon Leshalim Shchar. Or, if I tell you to do something, don't worry about the reward. Because if I tell you to do it, you will get the reward. I don't change. Or to the contrary, heaven forbid, the punishment. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no changing. And the same with his words, his Torah, his mitzvahs. This is why he's known as Chesome Emes. By the truth, there's no change. This is why we find that throughout all of the generations, the world has changed enormously through centuries and centuries. But Torah has not changed. The ideals remain the same. The principles remain the same. The values remain the same. Where we come to change is in the physical world. The physical world, especially we look at it today, and it's just amazing, it's astonishing, it's mind-boggling that the instability of the world. There used to be, if it was good or bad, there was stability. Even when there was a rush in the world, there was a stability. There used to be good places and bad places. Today, nobody can tell you this is a good place or this is a bad place. Because what it is today might be not tomorrow. And it's affected the whole world. Politically is upheaval wherever you go. Used to be banana republics were like that. They're not so anymore. Economy, top economists, they don't predict anymore. They don't. They've stopped predicting the gold price. They've stopped predicting the foreign exchange values, and they tell you they can't predict it because it's defying all principles. All principles of economics, everything is defined. Spoke to one person recently, he said, today when you give a lecture, you have to give a lecture which has become very popular with scenarios. You can't say what will happen. You've got to say that 5 or 6 things can happen, and you give a scenario for each one. He says, nobody can say anymore what can happen, because everything is out of control, and everything is defined. comes to employment, and for the last number of months or years already, the leading stories of many, many international magazines have been that there's no stability left in job employment. And they said, we're not talking about the third world. We're talking about the first world. First world. Be it Europe, be it America, wherever it is, there is no stability in job employment. And just recently came out a lead story where millions and millions throughout the world, in first world countries, wealthy countries, are unemployed, not only unemployed, but with no hopes of ever regaining those jobs. A total instability. You have racial problems, total instability. Physical elements, weather, they've stopped. What is the trend of the weather? Even there, there's total instability. Nations today, they say nations that you never heard of a few years ago, you never even knew they existed, today are in the front headlines of the papers all of the time. This world is a world of change. Manal says the reason why it's a world of change is because it's always moving. This world's always moving, constantly moves. That's the solar system. And the Geshem, the physical, is always changing. This is why that, generally speaking, we have to be prepared for strong change in the physical world. It was Beis Shammai said, Asek Teroscha Kva. When it comes to Torah, you have to be rigid. It says Beis Hillel also agreed with him. He said Beis Hillel held in Mili de Alma, when it comes to things in this world, you have to be very versatile. But when it comes to mitzvahs in Torah, naturally you have to apply it properly. But there, the basic principle, the heart of the principle, cannot be subject to change. Because that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no change. But we see, even in the physical world, we see constant upheaval and change is not good. Even the physical world seeks permanence. For example, the seasons, everyone knows. Rain is good, but that's if it comes during the time when the rain is supposed to come. Heat is good, but that's if it comes during the time the heat is supposed to come. If you mix the seasons up, you can get disaster. And so on. The physical body. The physical body thrives on routine. It thrives on patterns. When you make a change in it, you could be headed for trouble. People go from one climate to the other, or they go from one altitude to the other. Body has difficulty. The Gemara tells us, Shinu yves tchilas cheli. Shmuel used to say, Shmuel was a doctor, he says, when you change your diet of eating, that you can bring on, heaven forbid, disorder to the body. And the Gemara, and we see that Hashem created a world in orderly fashion. He gave every nation their land. It wasn't made where all the nations should be mixed up. That was a disorderly fashion. The Maral says in Netzach Yisrael, he says, this that we see that Yisrael is in Golus, that we are in exile. He says, you should know this is a phenomenon. Because this is not in accordance with nature. The nature of the world is that the Chinese live in China, and the Indians live in India, and every people each people live in their own land. And this that we see, that the Jews for so long have not lived in their own land, but have been scattered amongst the nations. He says this is a phenomenon in nature. And this is only because of Gzeiras Hashem, the decree of Hashem. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to continually decree Golus. Otherwise nature would bring all peoples back to their own land. So even where we see in the physical world where there is so much change going on, but still the permanence and orderly fashion is actually the way things should be. What we hear from all of this is the mitzvah which encompasses all mitzvahs is the one that teaches us to serve Hashem in totality, without exception, all of the time, every morning, every evening. Tomid, with a permanence. And this is how we always have to approach the mitzvahs of Hashem and the Torah of Hashem. And in general, these are the values that we must instill in ourselves and instill in our children. Unfortunately, today, we don't see too much of this. The old days, you used to hear previous generations, they prided themselves. How they would say that my whole lifetime I never went back on my words. Or my whole lifetime I never betrayed anyone. Or my whole lifetime I always did this mitzvah. And so forth and so on. Or my whole lifetime I was always loyal to my ideals. Today, when we speak of loyalty, of dedication, stability, these are words which seem to ring an archaic sound to them. They seem to be old-fashioned words. Today, unfortunately, people are not interested in long-term. They're only interested in short term. They're only interested in quick games, in quick satisfaction. Today here, tomorrow there. Today this is good, tomorrow that'll be good. Ideals and values that can supersede time. No, these are not heard of anymore. Loyalty. These are words that we do not hear anymore. I remember once the late Rabbi Katz, Olav Shalom, from Pretoria. He was being in Pretoria, and this goes back about 15, 20 years ago. He was very involved with the army. One time he served as the senior chaplain. He was involved with the army. So he once told a story. He says the army was considering a certain individual for a certain position, a responsible position. I don't recall if it was at the chaplaincy or something else. And he was Jewish, and they called Rabbi Katz in to discuss it with him. And they asked him, is he a member of your congregation? So he said, no. He says, he belongs to the Reform congregation. So the commandant said, he says, why? So he says, well, he was once Orthodox, but he left. So he shook his head and he said, a man who cannot be loyal to the ideals of his nation, how can we expect him to be true and loyal to our nation, to our country? This was a story Rabbi Katz once said to me. But these are old-fashioned concepts today. And this is why we live in a world that we see today. We live in a world of churban, of broken homes, broken marriages. People who give their word and it doesn't mean a thing. A word is not a word, an agreement is not an agreement, a contract is not a contract, a written contract is not a contract. And this is just the contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave the Torah and the mitzvahs, and this is of a permanence, of netzach, always, even beyond this world. Let me conclude with one further story, also to show you how far we are from these concepts today. If you discuss with young people, I'm saying young people, they are the sacrifices, because they're being brought up in a world that no longer recognizes these values. They're not being brought up by their parents. They're being brought up by the campuses. They're being brought up by the television. They're being brought up by the streets. They're being brought up by Hollywood. But if you would talk to a youngster and you would tell him, let's make a plan for 50, 60 years or for 100 years from now. Not a financial plan. He'd have nothing to say to you. This is a story that I once heard from the Telzer Rosh Hashiva Ramot Chaket, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When he came to America after the Holocaust, where he lost his entire family, and they started to rebuild Telzer Yeshiva, and they were having great difficulties trying to reestablish, which was then supposed to be the first European yeshiva in totality in America. Great difficulties on the American scene, because the Americans were not interested in that. They wanted professions, and they wanted money, qualifications, and finished. So when they were having these great difficulties, so a rabbi, this is a rav that he knew, and a rav that had also come from Europe but was already settled in America, so he said, Rabbi Katz, I want to tell you something. He says, you're banging your head against a stone wall here in America. He says, die Welt is anders. This world is a different world. In other words, you're trying to sell values that this world is not interested in. So the mortal got angry, and he answered him. He says, you say, die Welt, this world. He says, what we're doing is for this world. He says, what we're doing is for the next world and all the worlds afterwards, not for this world. He says, for this world, but Lenzach, it would be worth working so hard for. He says, after I came through a Holocaust and I saw what happened to this world, he says, do you think I'm working for this world? No. He says, no. For this world alone, it's not worth it. He says, we're working for the next world and all the worlds afterwards. We're working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are you telling me? Die Welt, this world, is different. And this is how a Jew has to look. And this is how a Jew has to serve. With an eye into an unending future and a permanence. With the right hand and not the prokim, with a casual look into what's happening. This is what Ben Paze told us. That Yesh Posuk Shikolel Yoser Esakeves Echod Baboker Vesakeves Hasheni Ben Aboyim This is what these sacrifices represented, that we were commanded to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with these sacrifices every morning as the sun rises and every morning as the sun sets, never with an exception, throughout one's entire life. We should be zeicher to become servants of Hashem in this manner.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.